Morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Lamed Dalet. We left off on daf Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, towards the end of the Amud. Today, we are going to, first we're going to talk about what happens if a, we're going to continue the discussion that we began yesterday about what happens if after somebody's ox gores another person's ox, if then the mazik then tries to sell the ox. We had started a conversation about that. We had started a conversation about that yesterday, so we'll pick up with that. We'll pick up with that today, and then the primary focus of today's daf, which is unfortunately rather technical and a bit complex, is going to talk about the measure of damages that a shor has to pay if it damages under certain circumstances. And obviously that will depend on how much is the shor that did the damage is worth, how much is the shor that was damaged worth, what was the extent of the damage, what was the nevela worth, because ultimately the damage incurred by the ox that was gored is going to depend on what it was worth before it was gored, and then what it's worth after it's gored. But what if it's worth zero, but the nevela is worth something? What if the value of the nevela appreciates or depreciates after the nezek is inflicted, after the damage is inflicted, and how that might have an impact on how the damage payment, both by a shor tam and by a shor muad, is calculated? So, and that takes us basically through the Mishnah toward the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. So again, we left off over here on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, six lines up from where the lines get wide, Amar Mar. So Amar is the last word on the line. So Amar Mar, so again, we have been discussing yesterday what happens if you have an ox that gores another ox. We saw the Machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Yishmael says that the mazik can be mesalek the nizak with damim, with money, and therefore the nizak is not considered to be a shutaf with the mazik in the ox. But then we saw the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who said that no, as soon as the ox gores the other ox, because by tam, again, mishalei megufo, we're talking about a shor tam that gores, because by tam, mishalei megufo, immediately partial ownership of the mazik ox is transferred over to the nizak, and therefore we had thought that that would maybe restrict the ability of the mazik to do things with his ox, to sell his ox, to pledge his ox, to do whatever with it, to be maktish his ox, because the nizak already has a shutfus almost in the ox. So we're going to pick up with that discussion. So Amar Mar. So says the Gemara like this, Machra Macher, if the Mazik sells the ox, then it is a valid sale, L'radia, that means only that it's a valid sale in that the buyer of the ox is allowed to use the ox to plow, Hektisha Muktash, and so this apparently is in the Shita, so Hektisha Muktash, and now if he's Maktish the ox, then it's Muktash, Mishum de Rabbi Avo, because of the statement of Rabbi Avo. Again, what did Rabbi Avo say? Rabbi Avo had told us yesterday that it doesn't mean that it's really hektish. And Mektisha Muktash means that if the guy was maktish it, then we're going to require him to be poda, to give kesef pidyon for the ox. Why? Because even though really he doesn't have the ability to be maktish the ox, we're afraid if we allow the ox to leave hektish without any pidyon, people might assume that real hektish can be redeemed without pidyon as well. Therefore, we are going to, because of the halacha of Rabbi Avo, because of the shita of Rabbi Avo, we're going to require him to give kesef pidyon. Now the Gemara continues, shachtu v'nasnu b'matana. If the mazik shechts the ox and gives it to somebody b'matana, masha asa asui. Then what he did is done. Okay, so it's a valid, in other words, it's a valid nesina. So bishlam v'nasnu b'matana, masha asa asui. I understand the fact when you tell me that if he gives it to somebody b'matana, then it's a valid transaction l'radia, because the same way that the guy can sell it and will say that he's selling it really only for the rights to plow with it, let us say that he gives it b'matana, and he gives it b'matana in what respect? With respect to the rights to plow with it. Ela shachto, but if the mazik is shechting the ox, then leisei v'shtalei mibisrei, then why is that a valid act if the guy goes and shechts the ox and gives it to somebody else? He should have to pay the nizak with the basar of the shechted ox. D'tanya, because we learn in a brisa chai. It says shara chai. Ein li elechai. I only know that you have to make payment megufo shal shor if it is a shor that's alive. Shachto minayin. How do I know that if I already shechted the ox, then I have to make payment with the carcass, with an avela? Tamalomar umachru asashor mikol makom. That it says umachru asashor mikol makom. No matter what state the shor is in, whether it's alive or whether it is dead, you would have to make payment from the ox itself. So in that case, why by shachto is it a valid act? Why by shachto venusno is it a valid act? So Shvizvi lo nitzrucha ella lepiches shchita. We're talking about the depreciation on account of the shchita. So what does this mean? That means that there's a distinction between whether you have to pay for piche shchita, for the depreciation after the shchita, depending on when the amada bedin took place. That you have to pay piche shchita after the amada bedin, but before the amada bedin. In other words, if the animal was worth X and then you shechted it and now the animal is worth less, say if you shechted it after amada bedin, then you're going to have to compensate the nizik for that damage. If, however, you shechted it before Amad Abedin, then you're not going to have to compensate the nizik for that damage, because again, this is all going like Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so Amar Ravuna Bereid Rabbi Yeshua. So Ravuna Bereid Rabbi Yeshua says Zos Omeres Hamazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro Potter. Now, if you're going to tell me that before Amad Abedin, if I shech the animal and the animal depreciates on account of the shechita, but before Amad Abedin, according to Rabbi Yishmael, I don't have to make the nizak whole for that depreciation, it turns out that if a person is mazik, the shibud of his friend, he's going to be potter. So says the Gemara, because again, the Nizak has a lien. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not really such a solid lien. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's more nicker that it's a solid lien because Imamish becomes a shutuf with him. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, at least there's an entitlement to be paid from Migufo Shel Shor. But over here we see that if the guy shechts the Shor and there's a depreciation on account of the Shechita, if it's before Amad Abedin, you don't have to pay for it. So we see that if a person damages the shibud of his friend, he's going to be potter. So says the Gemara now, three lines down in the wide lines, sapshita. So says the Gemara, this is pashut. So answers the Gemara, no. Mal detema, hasam hu damar le, lo chasartich velo midi. I might think only over here in the case of the ox, where stam you shecht it, you could say, well, I didn't cause you any damage. Damar le, zika ba'alma hu deshakli minach. That all I took from it was wind. In other words, before it was a live animal, it was breathing. Now I shechted it. I took the wind out of it, because now it's no longer breathing. But still, you have something that's of value, and therefore I'm not required to pay. Avol bi alma l'chayiv. But generally speaking, I might think that you should be chayiv for damaging the shibud of your friend. So kamash malon, says the Gemara, that you are not going to be chayiv. Why are you not going to be chayiv? Because the lien is intangible and can't be said to have been damaged directly. Because again, you're damaging the item. You're not damaging the lien. The lien is a lien. It's a legal attachment or a legal entitlement to the item, which by definition is hampered, it's hindered when you're ruining the item itself, but you're not doing what the Gemara considers to be direct damage to the lien. It's indirect damage. Indirect damage is, in the Lashon of the Gemara, grumma. Grumma benizikin is potter. That's why you're going to be that's why you are going to be putter for damaging the lien of your friend on an item. So says the Gemara, so hanami Rabba Amra. But Rabba also said this shita, so why is this a chiddush? You're presenting it as if it's a chiddush, but it's really not. The Amar Rabba, because Rabba said, Asorif Sharosov Shel Chaverov, if a person burns the Sharos of his friend, putter, then he's going to be putter. So Mal Detema, so we see, also what's the shtar? So the shtar is something that evidences a lien on an item. If you burn the shtaros of your friend, thus destroying his evidence of the lien, then it says over here that you're potter. So it's pashut that you're potter. Says the Gemara, no. Ma'al detema hasam hu diyamar le naira bi alma kaloi minach. I might think over there you could say, look, all I did was I destroyed paper, that's all. Aval hecha dechofer ba'boro sichin ma'oros l'chayiv. But I might think, let's say I have a lien on a piece of property, and I go into the piece of the property, and I mamish damage the property. So in other words, I have a nice field, and I'm going, and I'm digging pits, and I'm digging all sorts of cisterns and stuff, and wells in the property. So I may think, well, that's real damage, and therefore I should be chayiv for that. Kamash malon, no, in no circumstance are you chayiv for destroying the lien of your friend. So the hacha command the chafer babara sichen maras dami, because over here it's as if you're going into your friend's field and you're digging boras sichen maras. What's over here? Over here where you actually shechted the animal. So you had an animal that was alive. Now you shechted the animal. That's pretty evident damage that you did, right? Before you had a live animal, now you have a dead animal. That's obvious damage, just like a guy who's going into somebody else's field and digging pits all over his field. V'kamar, masha asa asui. And we had said that masha asa asui. We had said that what is done, and the transaction stands. So says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to analyze another part of the Braisa. And what we had said was as follows: Kidmu balechovos. If the balechovos of the mazik came and preempted vigbiu, and they collected from the shar. Now bein chav atchelo hizik, bein hizik atchelo chav. Whether they were owed money before the damage occurred, or whether they first became creditors of the mazik after the damage occurred. Lo asa v'lo klum, their attempt at collection from the shar is ineffective. Why? Lefisha ein mishalem ela migufo. Because the nizak is only able to be compensated from the gufa shar. And so if the nizak is only able to be compensated from the gufa shar, and because again we're dealing with a short time which is mishalem migufo, and the mazik is, and rather the balei chovos of the mazik are able to be compensated both megufa shor as well as from all of the other assets owned by the mazik. So then it's not right. So it's not right that they should come and they should preempt and collect from the yeshor, because then you're taking away the sole source of collection from the nizik. So says the Gemara. Well, bishlam hizik atchelochav. Well, I understand this. If you're talking about a case where the nizikin, where the nezik took place before the chov was incurred, then nizkin kudmu. Then the nizikin preempt, the nezikin proceed in time the chov, and that's why they have precedence. Aval chov atchelo hizik bal chov kadem. However, over here, if the debtor creditor relationship was established before the hezek took place, well then the bal chov should come first. So the Shita Mekubetza says that this whole tzad of the Gemara, this whole havamin of the Gemara can apply only in a case where the Baal Chov also has a lien on the ox. Therefore, you could say, well, now I have a case of dueling liens, and okay, good, so the Nizek has a lien on the ox because he collects only Megufo, but the Baal Chov also has a lien on the ox, and therefore, maybe because his Chov is first in time, maybe he should collect. Says the Shita, we have to be dealing with a case where the Baal Chov has a lien on the ox, because if the Baal Chov doesn't have a lien on the ox, then what's the Havamina that he could collect from the ox? The other guy has a lien on it. I don't care if your obligation came first, you're an unsecured creditor, this guy's a secure creditor with a lien on the asset, he gets it, obviously. But says the Shita, if we're dealing with a case where they both have a lien on the ox, so why does the Baal Chov have to stand down Mamanavshach? I understand if the Nizek came first, good, then he gets it. But if the Baal Chov came first, he also has a lien on it, why doesn't he get it? Says the Gemara, Vafilu Hizek Achelo Chov, and even if the damage took place after the Balchov Kadim, the Balchov is going to come first. Why? Because no matter what the order, if the fact is the Balchov was the first to be toface, so he was the first guy to grab the ox, so it should be valid. So says the Gemara, so Shema Mina, but from here I see that from the fact that we're distinguishing between, that if the Baal Chov tries to preempt and tries to collect, no matter when his Chov was incurred, it is not going to be an effective collection. Shema Mina, Baal Chov Mi'uchar, Shekodam V'gava, Mashagava, Logava. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from here. We see that if the Baal Chov came second in time, in other words, let's say if he came after the Nizek and he attempts to collect first, what he has done is ineffective. Says the Gemara, no, Liola Memelecha Mashagava Gava. Maybe really if you have a later Baal Chov who tries to preempt and tries to jump the line and collect, maybe what he attempts to collect is actually going to be valid. Vishani Hasam the Amarle Ilu Gabachave Loavi Minachave Gavi Le Tahaitura de Askin Mine Mishtalimna. So in other words, what over here what the Nizek could tell him is the following. The Nizik's claim to the ox is the strongest because he's entitled to collect only from the ox itself, whereas an ordinary creditor can collect from any of the debtor's property. So in other words, the Nizik could say to the Baal Chov, look, let's say that the Mazik had this ox and then tried to transfer the ox to somebody else. This is my sole source of payment. And because it's my sole source of payment, I could have taken it from you, even had you rightfully taken it previously from the Baal Chov, from the Mazik rather. Now that we're both here, because this is my sole source of payment, you are not able to jump the line and you're not able to preempt. So again, the Gemara concludes that it's Dafki here, where the Nizik has the sole source of payment from the animal, that the Baal Chov is not allowed to come first, but we can't necessarily prove what happens to a general case where we have a later in time Baal Chov, and then the Baal Chov tries to come and collect his obligation before others can collect their obligation. As it says the Gemara Vayter, so Tanu Rabbanan, Shor Shava Masayim, you have an ox that's worth 200, Shenagach Shor Shava Masayim, that gores an other ox that's worth 200, V'chaval Bo B'chamishim Zuz, and the damage is 50 Zuz, V'shavach V'yamad Al Arba Meo Zuz. Okay, and now, however, the ox that was gored, the value appreciates up to 400. So in other words, originally it was 200, then you cause $50 worth of damage. So it goes from $200 to $150. But now all of a sudden it goes back up to $400. Shel mole hiziko hay omed al shmona meos zuz. Now, however, had it not been damaged, it would have been worth 800 zuz. Not 400 zuz, it would have been worth 800 zuz. So no sein kishas hanizak. So you have to give kishas hanizek. So you have to give kishas hanizek. So what does that mean? So Rashi says over here that you have to pay, that the mazik has to pay 25 zuz kishas hanizek at the time of the damage. In other words, how much damage was caused? Again, we had said 50 zuz of damage was caused. But the damage was caused by a shartam, which pays only chatzi nezek, and therefore you have to pay $25. Now, ve'ein yochel nezek lomar lo, tein li chelek shminis shabo, shezachisi bo mishas ha-nezek, or b'shosi yeshbiach. And the nezek can't say that he's entitled to recoup his loss of the appreciation, because had the ox not been damaged, it would have gone up to $800 as opposed to only $400. So in other words, the mazik only has to pay kishas hanizik, and the nizik can't claim basically lost profit from the mazik. He cannot claim that. Now, kichesh kishas hamada bedin. However, if the animal goes down in value, then it's estimated by the shas hamada bedin. Shevach mazik nosin lo kishas hanezek. If it increases in value, then the mazik gives him kishas hanezek. Kichesh kishas hamada bedin. So if it goes down in value, then you follow the shas hamada bedin. So the Gemara is going to explain. So Amar Mar, Shevach mazik nosin lo kishas hanezek. If it goes up in value, then the mazik only has to give him kishas hanezek. Now, money, Rabbi Shmoli. This is like Rabbi Shmol, the Amar Balchov, who says that it's a Balchov, Mezuzayu demasikle, and therefore he has to give him a set amount of money. And therefore, we don't care that it goes up in value between the time of the nezek and the time that you actually pay, because the amount of the damage, the amount of the obligation, is fixed in time when the damage takes place. But aim a seifa. But then look at the seifa, which appears to be contradictory. Kichesh, if it goes down in value, kishas hamada bedin, then you estimate the damage at the time of hamada bedin. Asan l'Rabbi Akiva diamar shutfininu. Well, now if I'm going to hold the nizak on the hook for any depreciation in value of the ox, well then it appears that the nizak has a shutfus in the ox. So Reisha Rabbi Shmuel b'Sefer Rabbi Akiva. So you're going to tell me that the Reisha of this Brisa is like Rabbi Shmuel, who says that they're not partners in the ox, and the Seifa is like Rabbi Akiva, who says that they are partners in the ox? Says the Gemara, lo, no, we're not going to divide the psak like that. Kuli Rabbi Akiva, It's all Rabbi Akiva. Now, what are we talking about in the case if they're all partners in the ox? So why by the case of Shevach, why by the case where it actually appreciates in value, does the Mazik only pay Kishas HaNezek? If they're partners, he should pay Kishas HaMada B'din in either case, whether it's going up or whether it's going down. So we say Kishapitmo, because the Mazik fattened the ox, the Mazik fattened the ox itself. And therefore, the appreciation in the ox came as a result of the Mazik's doing, and therefore the Nizak shouldn't stand to benefit from any appreciation that was funded by the Mazik. And therefore the Nizak has no share in this. Okay, so says the Gemara Baiter, if we're talking about a case where the Mazik fattened the ox, well then Ema Resha. So let's look at the Resha. Shavach v'yamad al dala me'azuz. If the ox appreciated and is now worth 400 zuz, no sein lo kishas hanezek. That he has to give him kishas hanezek. Now e kishapitmo. If we're talking about a case where the mazik fattened the ox, then if we're talking about a case where the nizak fattened the ox, then do I have to? Is it a chiddush to say that the mazik only pays b'shas hanezek? Why should the mazik be on the hook? Why should the mazik have to compensate for stuff that the nizak did? So Rapapa says that Reisha Meshkachas La Bein De Pitma Ptume Bein De Shivcha Memela. The Reisha, you can interpret whether anybody fattened the ox or whether it just happened to have gone up in value Memela. And we need to teach me that when the Shevach comes Memela, when let's say the market value of oxen goes up, and therefore it goes up in value Memela, no sein lo kishas hanezek. Then he gives him kishas hanezek, but seifa lo mishkachas la ela kishapitmo. However, in the seifa we can interpret the seifa only when the mazik is going to only when the mazik fattens the ox, and when the mazik fattens the ox, it's poshut that the nizik shouldn't benefit from any money that the mazik expends in fattening the ox, because the nizik has no right in that. So kichesh kishas hamada bedin. Now we had said that kichesh, let's say if the shor damages and at the time of the nezek it's worth X, and then it depreciates in value, so at the shas hamada bedin it's worth X minus 50, let's say. So kichesh machmas mai. So what caused the depreciation? Ilema dekachsha machmas malacha. So if you want to say that it was kichesh machmas malacha, so lemele at Mechashta vano yavinon. So let's say again. So if it depreciated in value between the time of the nezek and the time of Amada Bedin, then we're going to make the mazik pay. Then we're going to make the mazik pay the amount that's calculated as of the time of Hamada Bedin. Now, why did the animal depreciate? If it depreciated because the nizik is working the animal, well, then the mazik can say, listen, I caused a certain amount of damage. That damage was fixed in time at the time of the damage. Then you went and you worked the ox. So now the ox is worth less. Because you got benefit by working your ox, I should be required to subsidize your usage of the ox and pay you for that damage? That doesn't make any sense. Some Ravashi know the kokosh machmas maka. Now we're dealing with a case where it did depreciate in value, not because the nizik is working the ox, but because of the wound that the mazik's ox caused. That's what's causing the depreciation. Now the amarle karna de ture kvirabe, because you could say that the keren of the shor is buried in the ox. In other words, it's another way of saying that the initial goring continues to be responsible for the depreciation. And since the initial goring continues to be responsible for the depreciation, that's why if the ox depreciates in value from the time of the nezek to the time of the amada bedin, then the mazik is responsible to pay for that depreciation, because we view the depreciation to be a result of the original injury that was inflicted by the mazik's ox. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Shor Shava Masayim, if you have an ox that's worth 200, Shanagach Shor Shava Masayim, that gores another ox that's worth 200, Veina Nevela Yafa Klum, and the Nevela is not worth anything. So you have $200 worth of damage, and you have basically a short tom that would have to pay chatzi nezek, right? So chatzi nezek would be $100. So Amar Rav Meir, al zeh nemar, it's regarding this case that the pasuk says, it says v'chiigov shor ish es shor reyehu umeis umachru es ashor achai v'chatzu es kaspo v'gam es ameis yechetzun. So this is the case. Says Rav Meir in the Mishnah, al zeh nemar umachru es ashor achai v'chitzu es kaspo. That this is the case where we say that you have to sell the shor achai and you divide the money. Why? Because again, we had a case, ox worth 200, gores an ox worth 200, causes $200 worth of damage. So the chatzi nezek is 100. The damaged ox is worth nothing right now. The damaging ox, the damager is worth 200. You have to pay chatzi nezek, so you sell the ox, you divide the profit. The mazik keeps 100, the nizek keeps 100, hence your chatzi nezek. So Amar Leih Rabbi Yehuda, v'chein halacha, is this really the halacha? Kiyamta umachru as ashor achai. You were mekayim the first part of the pasuk that says that they have to sell the shor achai and they divide the profit of the shor achai. But v'chatzu es kaspo v'lo kiyamta v'gamas ameis yechatzun. But you were not mekayim the end of the pasuk that talks about dividing the nevela. Because over here the nevela is worthless. You told me how I pay the guy chatzi nezek only by dividing the live animal, only by selling the live animal and dividing it. But what happens with the dead animal? Now what's a case where I could be mekayim both parts of the pasuk? Shor shav masayim shenagach shor shav masayim. Let's say you have a shor that's worth 200, that Gordon ox that's worth 200. Vanevela yafa chamishim zuz, and the nevela is worth 50 zuz. So it turns out that the damage is worth. The damage is 150. Now chatzi nezek of 150 is 75. So how do I get to 75? So a little bit of mishnaic math. Shezen notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis. V'zen notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis. So again, we have basically an ox that's worth 200 and an ox that's worth 50. So the nizek has to get $75. So the nizek has to get 75. So the damage is worth 150. And so what happens is shezon notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis v'zen notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis. So says Rashi over here. Let's look at Rashi, the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Vanavila yafa nun zuz da'avile azeko kuf nun upalga niska da'ainu ayin hey boy nizik lahafsid. He has to lose 75. V'ilkach shakil chatzi hachai v'chatzi ameis t'shav yu kuf chaf hey. So basically, everybody, the way the Mishnah is viewing it, instead of getting a payment of $75, everybody is getting something that causes them a $75 loss. So the chatzi nezek is $75. The live ox was worth 200. The dead ox was worth 50. So everybody divides the 50. That's 25. Everybody divides the 200. That's 100. 100 plus 25 is 125. Everybody now sustains a loss of $75. So that's your chatzi nezek, according to the Mishnah. Okay, so says the Gemara. So Tana Rabbana. Shor shavim masayim, shenagach shor shavim masayim. So you have a shor that's worth 200, that gores another ox that's worth 200. Vanevela yafa chamishim zuz. And the nevela is worth 50. Zenotel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis. V'zenotel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameis. That's the case of the Mishnah. V'zehu shor amr b'torah. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that's the shor ha'amar b'torah. What does it mean, the shor ha'amar b'torah? Like we said, it means because you divide the live shor in two, you divide the value of the nevela in two, everybody gets half, the nizek winds up with a loss of $75. That's chatzi nezek because his total loss was 150. Good. Rabbi Meir Omer, ein zeh shor ha'amar b'torah. That's not the shor ha'amar b'torah. What is the shor ha'amar b'torah? Ella shor shavim masayim, shor shavim masayim, 200 zuz, shenagach l'shor shavim masayim, that gourd and other ox worth 200, vein a nevela yafek klum, and a nevela is not worth anything, al zeh namar umachru as ashor achai v'chitzu as kaspo. That's on this that says, again, chatzi nezek now is $100, so you sell the live ox worth $200, you divide the proceeds, you divide the profit, each guy gets 100, boom, that's your chatzi nezek. So says the Gemara that ela ma'ani mekayim v'gamas ameis yechzun. In that case, how am I going to be mekayim the other part of the pasuk which said that they divide the nevela over here? They're not dividing the nevela because I've made the guy whole by dividing the value of the live shor. So says the Gemara piches Shepichso misa machzen. Machzen. That the depreciation that is caused by the death, that's what they divide. So says the Gemara, well, Bechai Michti, Bein Rab Meir, Bein Rab Yehuda, I'm sorry, that Piche, Shepichso, Misa, Machzen, Bechai, that the depreciation caused by the death, they divide in the live shore. So in other words, not that you actually have to divide the dead animal, it's that whatever loss was caused in the dead animal, that you make up by dividing the live animal. So that's a way of reinterpreting the Pasuk. So says the Gemara like this, Michti, Bein Rab Meir, Bein Rab Yehuda, both according to Rameir and according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Meyav Esrim V'chamisha Shakel, V'hai Meyav Esrim V'chamisha Shakel. No matter how you wind up, and this is going in the second case of the Mishnah, where you had basically the ox that was worth 200, goring the ox that was worth 200, then the ox is only worth 50, so the $150 worth of damage. The question is, how do I get each person to a loss of $75? So says the Gemara now, I don't really care the mechanics of how you're getting everybody to a loss of $75. The important thing is that everybody is incurring a loss of $75. So my binayu. So what's the difference between them? So Amarava Piches Nevela Ikabinayu. The distinction between them is Piches Nevela. So how do they distinguish between that? Rameir Savar Piches Nevela Denizakave. Rameir says that Piches Nevela is Denizak. And Rav Yehuda Savar Piches Nevela Demazekave Palga. And Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda says that no, that the Mazik bears half of the burden of the Piches Nevela as well. Says Rashi, bottom Rashi on the page. Impichso Damea Mishas Misa Achas Mechira. If the value depreciates from the Shas Misa until the Shas Mechira, the Rav Meir Diomer Lo Shayech Mazik Benevela Piches Denizekave. According to Rav Meir, who says that the Mazik has no Shaychas in the Nevela, then the Piches is going to be born solely by the Nizik, and the Mazik only has to pay half of what the damage was at the time of Misa. However, you don't have to cover the depreciation up until the time of Mechira. However, according to Rav Yehuda, who says that the Mazik continues to basically have a tfisa in this ox up until the Shas Mechira, you have to cover for the depreciation not only from the time of Misa, but also all the way up to the time of Mechira. So says Abaya, im came matzino the Rabbi Yehuda. It comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda that tam chamer meimuad, that a shor tam is going to be more chamer than a shor muad. Why? Because by a muad, the nevela is entirely the nizik's problem. Because by a muad, the nizik is responsible for any further depreciation that the animal experiences between the time of Misa and the time of Mechira. Now, if you're going to tell me over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the mazik is responsible for half of the further depreciation, then it turns out that the mazik is going to be responsible for more by a short time than he is for a short muad. And if you want to say, okay, good, so he's responsible for more by a short time than he is by a short muad, but Rav Yehuda Omer, and because we have a brisa that because we have a mission rather, Rav Yehuda says tam chayev a muad potter, that a tam is chayev. That a tam is chayev, but a muad is going to be pater. What's this talking about? So this is talking about a situation where the owner is liable for chatzi nezek by a short tam, even if he guarded it in a minimal standard. However, by a muad, by a shor muad, he's pater if he guarded the ox, even with this minimal standard. So, if you're going to ask me, Akasha, how could it be by a shor tam, I'm going to keep the mazik on the hook for further depreciation, if the mazik's not even on the hook for that depreciation by a shor muad, how can I make a shor tam more chumer than a shor muad? I'll say, I can make a shor tam more chumer than a shor muad. Guess what? Because by a shor tam, I'm liable if I guarded it in a certain manner, that I wouldn't be liable for if I guarded a shor muad in that manner. So says the Gemara, no, you can't say that. Amar de shamit le Rav Yehuda linyan shmira de chsibi kroy. I have psukim that tell me that I'm responsible for a shor tam if I guarded it in a manner that I would not be responsible for a shor amuad for. That's only where I have psukim that tell me this halacha. Lina tashlumim mishamitle. Do I ever have a case where I am going to make a shor tam or chomer than a shor amuad? Lina tashlumim. That doesn't make sense. The whole idea of a shor tam is that it is less chomer than a shor amuad. Lina tashlumim. Vatanya. Rav Yehuda Omer, we have an Abraisa, Rav Yehuda says, that Yochal Shor Shaveh Mana, I might think a shor that's worth 100. Shenogach Shor Shaveh Chamesh Slam, that gore is a shor worth 20. Vanavela Yafes Sela, and the Navela is worth 4. So stick with me, it's a little complicated because we're translating Slam into Mana, but it is into Zuz. But if you have an ox worth 100, that gore is an ox worth 20, and the Navela is then worth 4, meaning that the damage is 16. Zenot al Chatzia Chai Vachatzia Meis. So this one takes half of the live ox and half of the dead ox. In other words, it's going to take 50 plus 2, so it's 52. And the other one is going to take 50, and the other one is going to take 52. So in other words, I might think that you use this procedure, even if it's going to result in the nizek getting much more than chatzi nizek. Because again, what was the damage? The damage was, I took an ox that was worth 20, now the nevela is worth 4, the delta 16, so the damage was 16, chatzi nizek is 8. Now if you're going to tell me that whenever an ox that's a short tam damages another ox, that I'm going to use this formula where I divide the value of the live ox and I divide the value of the dead ox, then in some cases can result in the nizek getting way more than chatzi nizek. So Amrit v'chimuad lama yotze lahachmer lav olahakal lav. So you're going to ask like this. Well, was a muad called out by the Torah to be machmer on it or to be mekel on it? Havi omer lahachmer lav. It should be to be machmer, right? Because unlike by a short time where I'm chayev only for chatzi nezek, by a short muad I'm liable for nezek shalim. Not only that, by a short time we're dealing with these crazy cases where there's a minimal amount of value, and by dividing the value of the live shor and the dead shor, I could get to more than chatzi nezek. But one benefit of shor tam is shor tam is only mishalem megufo. So if an ox that's worth 100 damages an ox that's worth 500, the nizek only has a claim up to the value chatzi nezek megufo. But a shor muad pays me'aliyah. So it's obvious that a shor muad is always machmir. We're always more machmir by a shor muad than by a shor tam. Uma muad ena mishalem elamasha hizek. Tamakalo kol shkein. Now, madach muad can never pay more than it damages. So, by a time you're going to tell me by the Mishnah that I'm following this formula, and now on account that I'm following this formula, I am going to have to pay more than the value of what I damage, because I cause only $16 worth of damage. But if I'm going to divide the dead shore and the live shore, I'm going to wind up paying $52 worth of damage. That's nuts. So, Elam Rav Yochanan. Shvach nevela ikabenayu. We're not talking about a case like that. We're talking about a case of shvach nevela. The mar savar denizakave umar savar palga. One man diyamar says that shvach nevela is. One man diyamar says that shvach nevela goes to the nizak, and the other man diyamar says no, that they divide the shvach nevela. In other words, the more the nevela appreciates, then the mazik gets left off the hook. Behind the kashale the Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the kasha Rabbi Yehuda. Hacha de amri chos rachmana ilavei the mazik the shachal b'shivcha, and that was the kasha Rabbi Yehuda. Now that we see that the Torah's chos on the mazik by a short time, that he gets the benefit of the shevach, right? Because his payment is reduced to the extent the dead animal appreciates in value. Yachal shor shavah chamesh shlam. I think a shor that's worth 20, shenogach shor shel mona, shor shav mona, that gores an ox that's worth 100, vanevela yafa chamishim zuz, and the nevela is worth 50 zuz. So in other words, there's 50 zuz worth of damage, and chati nezek should be what? Should be 25. Zenot al chati achai v'chati ameis. This one takes half of the live animal and half of the dead animal. And this other one takes half of the live animal and half of the dead animal. The only problem is the nezek was 50, chatzi nezek is 25, the dead animal is worth 50, the live animal is worth 20. If I'm dividing them equally, then the mazik is taking 35 and the nizik is taking 35. So again, we have a case where the nizik is getting more than chatzi nezek, meaning I'm putting the burden of more than chatzi nezek on the mazik. So amra teicha matzinu mazik nischar, sheze nischar v'yomer, shalem yishalem balim mishalmin, vein balim notlin. So how could it be over here? So how could it be over here by the case of Shevach that the mazik is going to make out like this? Vein balam notlin. So my vi omer. So what does it mean when we say omer? V'chite mahani milehecha dika pseida lenizek. I might say that that's only when there's a pseida lenizek. Aval hecha deleka pseida lenizek. But when there is no loss to the nizek, and now we're going to deal with yet another case. Kigon shor shavah chamesh lam. You have a shor that's worth 20. Shenogach shor shavah that gores another ox worth 20, v'anavela yafesh shloshim, and a nevela is worth 30 zuz. So over here again, the nevela is worth more than the animal was worth when it was alive, but that's the case that we're dealing with. So shakal nami mazik b'shivcha. So should the mazik also take in the shevach the omer shalem mishalem b'alem mishalem v'im b'alem notlin? So if the mazik is going to take in the shevach, it's going to turn out that the mazik isn't going to have to pay anything because the ox that his guy gored is now worth more dead than it was alive. So can that really be? So amar le ravacha bar tachlifa l'rava im kei matzino l'rabbi Yehuda. Well, look at the flip side. The flip side, according to all of these fact patterns that we walked through, and it's been confusing because we've walked through a lot of fact patterns, but in one of them, if you just stick with me, in one of them, we dealt with a case where there was $25 worth of damage, but if we literally divided the live ox and the dead ox, it would be that the nizik winds up with $52. In the other case, there was $20 worth of damage, and if you would have divided everything equally, the guy winds up with $35. So how in the world is that okay? Okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Torah keeps talking about everybody dividing the money. So how can it be that the mazik is going to be on the hook for more than chatzi nezek? So islay le Rav Yehuda piche shepichso misa machzimba, because Rav Yehuda says that the depreciation caused by death, caused by the misa, that is what they divide, and the nizak is going to be reimbursed for half of his loss through the sale of the living animal. So minole. So how do we know this? So mi the gam es ames yechson. For afki Rav Yehuda lezeno tol chatzi achai v'chatzi ames v'zeno tol chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. So imkei nichtav krav ve'es ames. My vegam shmami na tarti. So we see over here. So basically, when the dust settles, everyone agrees that the parties are going to divide the loss caused by death. And the damaged party is never compensated by more than half his loss. So that's what Rav Meir learns from the Pasuk. And that's why Rav Meir says that the Nevela remains in the Rishus HaNizik and the Mazik doesn't benefit from any appreciation. Because the Nizik just has to be compensated for half flat out. That's it. End of story. Rav Yehuda says that the Vagam teaches us that the Mazik has a share of the Nevela and that if the carcass appreciates, that the Nevela appreciates, the Mazik's liability is diminished. But he agrees that if the Nevela depreciates, the Mazik isn't liable for half of the depreciation because his liability can't be more than the liability of a Shorah Mu'ad. And by a Shorah Mu'ad, we had said that the Mazik is not on the hook for any further depreciation. So it comes out that everybody agrees, and this is basically the case that we started with in the Mishnah. Everybody agrees the perfect case of that's written in the Pasuk where you divide the live animal and you divide the dead animal and you're giving everybody that amount of money, half and half, that only works in the perfect mathematical case, depending on the value of the shor that gored and the shor that got gored and how much the carcass is worth. But everybody agrees otherwise, despite all the other cases that we worked out where hypothetically technically the nizak could be compensated more than chatzi nezek, that can't happen, because the overriding principle is that by ishar tam, we can't make it more machmir than ishar amuad. So God willing, Shamshi will pick up tomorrow from the Mishnah here. I am unable to make the shir tomorrow, but Shamshi will pick up with more exciting cases of personal injury and damage assessments in Talmudic times.